Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Well, the baseball season has mercifully come to an end. Almost. Anyway, welcome into the Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you guys being here on this Sunday night, and luckily some portal stuff happened in football, and some possibly kind of confusing portal stuff happened in football. We'll try to talk through it tonight. The running back position. Ole Miss is just going to get all of the running backs at this point, I suppose, but there's been some reporting and then refutation, is that a word? Refuting of that reporting when it comes to the current status of the running back room and why Ole Miss got another one. So we'll try to talk through all of that tonight on this edition of, again, the Rebel Report. Glad that you guys are here. Yeah, I'm glad that happened because I just talking about baseball right now, I think, frankly, the conversation that we're going to have about baseball needs to wait another game. I know that most people, if you want to talk about it, we certainly can. This is an open platform. This is not for me to just yap. This is for you guys to weigh in. That's the whole point of this. So if you want to talk baseball and stuff, that's great. I was going to reserve it until after they lose in the SEC tournament when we know it's over. And so we can talk about what needs to happen moving forward. I'm not planning on having that discussion tonight. We can if you want to. I was going to wait until after they lose in Hoover, ending their season, before we actually have that conversation. On that note, we will not be live on Tuesday night. Don't know when that game is. I mean, it's supposed to start at, what, 8 o'clock? It's the last game. Those usually start really late. If there's news that happens between now and then, any Ole Miss news will go live, but for right now, just don't expect there to be a live episode on Tuesday night. I'll make it up to you. Probably do something Wednesday and Thursday, maybe do a back-to-back. We'll make up the day. We most certainly will make up the day, but we will not be live on Tuesday night, so just keep that in mind. But again, I'm glad you're here. My name is, again, Michael Borky. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And if you're listening to this on the website at supertalk.fm, I'm glad you're here and appreciate you, but pull out your phone, search Rebel Report in your favorite podcast app, and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And the Rebel Report is brought to you by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know in sports, especially in college sports, injuries are unavoidable. They're going to happen to your favorite athlete or your favorite team at times, but they should not happen to you. If you have been personally injured, or maybe have a small business or contract dispute, call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm today. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi, to discuss your legal options. Remember this number, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. DJ Gregory presenting the Rebel Report live. You may not need him today, but save that number again for personal injury, small business, contract disputes, 662-397-9799, the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. So, when I first saw the expert prediction, or whatever you want to call it, that had Rashad Amos flipping from Colorado to Ole Miss, first of all, that's just college football today. This is how you have to write the headline if you're going to be accurate. The former South Carolina and Miami of Ohio running back, formerly committed to Mississippi State and Colorado, commits to Ole Miss. I mean, that's the That's the path for Rashad Amos to find his way to Ole Miss. So on the first hand, just the absurdity of college football these days is, it's just that. It's absurd. But my first thought, frankly, was, okay, something's up. Somebody either got hurt or somebody is not going to be around. Something's up. Rashad Amos famously, when he was committed to Mississippi State, said, if they're still looking at running backs, then I'm still looking at schools. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact quote, but that's what it was. And that's why he ultimately left Mississippi State, is because they kept recruiting running backs and he wanted to be the guy. Ended up flipping to Colorado and probably thought better of it because of the disaster that's going to be again in 2024, and was looking around. But because I knew that he's expecting carries, and he was going to go to a place that was going to give him carries. Like that was the expectation. Him going to Ole Miss with the plethora of running backs that they had didn't make sense unless something was up. And my first thought was Diggs, Logan Diggs. I thought that, maybe that, he's not progressing as well, or maybe they've got a plan to just, not play him at all this year and let him get healthy and have him be the guy for 2025. That was my first thought, is maybe the LSU transfer is just, he's not coming along the way that they've hoped. I guess that is not the case. Neil McCready reported that there was an eligibility issue with Ja'Cory Crosky Merritt, the New Mexico, incoming New Mexico running back to Ole Miss, that he is out of eligibility and will not be playing for Ole Miss this year. For what it's worth, the player himself has taken to Twitter to say that's not accurate. That's not true. Generally speaking, if Neil is going to report something like that, my inclination would be to believe it. I know it's weird that the player said it's not true, but knowing what I know about the journalism process that he goes through before he puts something like that out there, tells me that there is certainly some truth to it, if not totally accurate. But again, the player refuting it on social media makes it really confusing, quite frankly. But looking at it, and maybe ESPN is wrong. I mean, ESPN could be totally wrong. But if you look at his game log on ESPN's website, he has played college football for 5 years, and he played in more than four games in all five of those years. Now, I know his bio, like if you just pull up his bio, it says he only played in four games in in one of those seasons. But according to ESPN, that is not accurate. 2019, he played in significantly more than four games. What is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight games when he... Alabama State. Sorry. Just completely had a brain fart. Completely just slipped my mind. That was crazy. I just stopped functioning there for a second. And anyway, forgive me. But his first year at Alabama State, 2019, played in eight games. 2020, the weird COVID spring year for the FCS level. According to this, the 2020 spring regular season, he played in five games for Alabama State, one of which was against Jackson State, where he only had two carries, but it doesn't matter. That's five games. 2021, full complement of games played. 2022, a full complement of games played, and obviously in 2023, a full complement of games played. So my only thought is they were trying to possibly get a waiver, considering that was a COVID year, considering that was two carries in one of the five games in which he played, that there was a possibility to get a waiver. Otherwise, if ESPN's game log is accurate, it's pretty cut and dry. It played in more than four games in five seasons. The 2020 season was given back to everybody. That would lead you to believe that eligibility has run out. But the player himself is disputing it. It's very, very confusing. But on paper, he has exhausted his eligibility. On paper, he has exhausted his eligibility. Is there a waiver process? I don't know. It is really unfortunate, though, that if he is ineligible to play, if he can't play, that they're just now finding this out. That really sucks because he could have gone through the draft process, right, and gone to one of these senior bowls or East-West games and all this stuff and get scouted and evaluated and have a pro day and maybe not get drafted, but get scouted and get picked up as a UDFA instead. If he's truly out of eligibility, I mean, he's really, for lack of a better phrase, screwed. So very weird deal there, very weird deal. But adding Rashad Amos, again, the Miami of Ohio transfer who started his career at South Carolina, who was committed to Mississippi State, then Colorado, now to Ole Miss, that makes sense if Kroski Merritt is not eligible to play in 2024. It makes you wonder how they are just now figuring this out, or maybe they knew all along and tried to get a waiver, and that waiver was recently denied. I wish I knew more. I wish I could give you the answer. So we're just kind of talking through it here because I don't know. But I am not one to doubt Neil's reporting. And if you look at it on paper, that is a full complement of eligibility. So very confusing situation there. I hate it for the young man because, again, if he truly is out of eligibility, he did not get to go through the process the way he should have been able to had he known beforehand. But he's saying that he's eligible to play. So if he's eligible to play, Ole Miss has added literally every running back in the transfer portal, it seems, on top of having Bentley returning as well. So we'll see. Rashad Amos is the style of back that they needed to add. You guys know I like Bentley. You know I like Parrish. I like those two guys a lot, frankly. Amos is different. He's more of a bruiser. He's more of a physical back. He's listed at 6'2", 234. His physicality really stands out there as well. So between the three of them, if Kroski Merritt is in fact ineligible, and then getting Diggs back healthy midway through the season, and then for good measure, they got what I believe is a walk-on transfer. And Dominique Thomas, who is coming in from Clemson, looks like he will be able to give them something if need be. So it's a really good portal job. They did a really nice job getting running backs in the transfer portal, regardless of how this deal with Kroski Merritt shakes out. But anyway, very confusing deal, but that is your news of the day in Ole Miss sports land, aside from the baseball team getting swept by LSU. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. That is the website if you're in the market for office technology and your business is located anywhere in the great state of Mississippi. Advantage Business Systems has you covered, absms.com. Again, that's the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you want to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Here we go. Thanks in advance. Meeting with Brandon in a week or two to grab lunch, and we're putting a tab in your name. I wasn't late. I was right on time. I told you guys 8 o'clock tonight. Get out of here. I was literally right on time. Right on time. I nailed it. You guys are crazy. Welcome in. Glad to see you. Brandon Bork, Midwest Picker. Good to see you too. Starting to lose count of the running backs going in and out of Ole Miss. It's an impossible endeavor. I've seen a couple of Moneyball memes when it comes to replacing Quinshon Judkins. They've been good. It's been really funny. So, yeah, but they've done a really nice job They have. I mean, the room is good and capable. Absolutely, it is. It's guys that have all done it. Like, you know, Amos did it at Miami of Ohio, right? It's not quite the same thing, but you have a 1,000-yard rusher in him. You've got Bentley, who you know can do it in the SEC. Paris, that you know can do it in the SEC and the ACC. And Diggs, who you know can do it in the SEC. I mean, the experience that they have in the backfield, the total rushing yards that they have in the backfield is crazy when you think about it. And that's a theme in this entire Ole Miss offense. If you look at the number of rushing yards, college rushing yards that they have in their backfield, it's insane. But same thing with quarterback. Same thing with tight end. Big time. Same thing with wide receiver. Look at the volume of receiving yards that they have at the collegiate level in their wide receiver room. So there is so much experience in this offense, so much experience. So while none of those guys are Judkins, all of those guys have produced. It should make you feel pretty good about the position. At least, you know, again, none of them are Judkins, but you should feel comfortable with what you have at running back for sure. A State fan was talking about how they tried to get Amos, but Ole Miss got him. Great depth, absolutely. Can you win baseball games if no one in the lineup bats over 280 for an average? Enough baseball? Yeah, baseball season's over in your mind. It basically already is. The game Tuesday will be so late, your stream will probably happen before it. Yeah, I think, yeah, you said that right before I let you guys know that I'm probably not. It just depends. It just depends on if anything happens between now and then, quite frankly. Because I think the baseball conversation needs to be done justice. And I think it's better to have the conversation when there is nothing else out there, right? There is still another game on the schedule. They're not winning the SEC. They're not making the postseason. It's not going to happen. But until that truly ends, I don't want to do the what should they do conversation, even though you guys probably have picked up on what you think or what. Anyway, I think that they should consider. I think that they should move on, but we'll talk about that later. How many running backs do they need? Well, if Neil is correct, and Kroski Merritt is not eligible, then they would only have three for the start of the season, three scholarship running backs for the start of the season. So that, you know, that's a pretty solid number. And then when Diggs gets healthy, I mean, I think you want four scholarship running backs. So having three when the season begins is about right, frankly. It's just who they are is what makes it impressive, right? They're not just dudes. It's productive dudes. Watched a Colorado podcast about getting this running back commit. You talk about losing his mind and being jealous of teams getting their players is sad. Yeah. Never have heard that much cussing in your life, and you're in the Army, and we can say the F word 10 times in a 15-word sentence, and I mean, it means 10 different things. Yeah. Your nephew won his T-ball game yesterday. That's all the baseball talk we need. Well, congrats to him. That's awesome. Amos could have been a valuable piece to both Colorado or Mississippi State. We'll see if he actually stays at Ole Miss, but it's still a portal win as of now. I mean, hell, what? Why not flip again? Flip three times. What's one more? And when would... I mean, I guess he technically wouldn't have to enroll until August, but, I mean, they're doing summer workouts and stuff. If you want to get in and actually be a part of the team, you got to kind of, you know, start that process, right? This may be the last one. Saltillo is pronounced Saltilla. Is it? I've only heard Saltillo. DJ hasn't even corrected me. Or are you just... Yeah. Colorado isn't a serious program or fan base around Dion? Absolutely not. I did not expect it. I knew it was going to be different. I didn't expect it to become the clown show that it absolutely is. It's a complete clown show. Amos commits as often as he changes socks. With what Caden Proctor did to Iowa, why aren't more players doing what Amos did and commit to multiple schools, potentially getting some NIL and bailing? It's a low move, but free money. It is, but schools should not be – you shouldn't give any money up front. And I know that happens sometimes, but you shouldn't. Hit that like button for the algorithm. Yes, please. And leave a comment as well. The comments are, I don't know. I guess it changes so often. Sometimes I can't figure out what will survive and what won't. And YouTube is so weird. I mean, some videos just take off and others do nothing. And I don't know. Oh, well. As long as the radio show's doing well, that's YouTube. I'll figure it out. Someday. Today's not that day, but someday. If the New Mexico back is out, Amos coming to Oxford is a good move for him and playing time on a good team. Colorado's a train wreck, and Ole Miss can make him a 1-2 punch with Bentley. For sure. Definitely a different style back, for sure. Train wreck is an understatement for Colorado. Who do I think is better, Merritt or Amos? I think they would have provided two different. I think they provide two different things. I think that Amos is more important than Krosky Merritt because of the style. If he's worried about eligibility, just sue the NCAA. They currently have a worse average than Ole Miss baseball in winning cases. True, but. You know, that one's pretty cut and dry, I think. And by the time you would go through all that, would it be worth it? But you guys are right. I mean, there's another one. Suing the NCAA is an easy win nowadays. It is. It is. For any non-Ole Miss folks that might be listening or watching, this should completely end the discussion that Lane Kiffin is a sling-the-ball-around guy. We wants to run the dang ball. Yeah, anytime you listen to anybody talking about Ole Miss, and it's not just under Judkins, it's every year. Not under Judkins, but with Judkins. Point is, you know when somebody doesn't know what they're talking about with Ole Miss when they say a phrase like that, and it happens often. I mean, I've heard an SEC-centric show talk about, well, you know, Lane, he loves to just throw the football around the yard, and it's like, man, no, that is not what they do. They run the football. Have you not looked at the league rushing totals at all, like ever? Like, do you never look at who leads the SEC in rushing? Ole Miss is either at the top or near the top every single year under Kiffin. They run the football. They're just explosive while doing it. But no, they don't sling the ball around the yard recklessly. Jackson Dart doesn't throw the ball 50 times a game. It's a very balanced offense that leans run, and you might even get more run this year, fewer quarterback runs probably. But you say we need a punter, then the follow-up is we don't need a punter, just score touchdowns on every drive, easy. Running back room filled out nicely, regardless of merit. Wouldn't call it a critical skill position that needed a high-impact player like a Walter Nolan or Juice Wells, just a bunch of solid dudes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Plenty of depth and potential with the running back room. And the only thing holding this group back would be offensive line play. It's the only thing that would be potentially holding them back. So. Yeah, I agree with this. This is kind of what I'm expecting this year. You say, I agree with all that, but a three-year quarterback and all of the receiver options we have this year, I can see them going with a more designed pass plays than the regular RPO. I can see Kiffin kind of taking the ball out of Dart's feet. if you catch my drift there, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more direct called offense as opposed to read option stuff just to limit the hits on Dart until they need to do that. Are we going to get a sneak peek of the new Realtree unis? I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. I'm looking forward to seeing them. I don't love the helmet. I don't love it. I like it. I don't love it. I just love the standard powder blue better than the Realtree, personally. I like it. I don't love it. I'm curious to see how a jersey possibly could look. What I think would be awesome, frankly, is to not do that pattern in the jersey, but do that pattern within the numbers in the stripes on a white jersey. I think that, and I know there's like a visibility rule where the numbers have to be clear, like clear contrasting. So maybe you can't because there's a lot of white in that pattern, but that I think would look cool. Or to have that pattern within the numbers on the red jersey. Think about that. So the red jersey, instead of white numbers, it's that Realtree pattern. And then same thing with the stripes. That would be cool. But I'm just thinking out loud. You'd like to see the bulk of the production from the backs and not a situation where Dart is taking massive shots, having to run the ball a lot. Flashbacks to the Tulane or Georgia Tech games for sure. The roster resembles something more like we are trying to get promoted from the championship to the Premier League this season. It's wild. I've wanted so badly to adopt a Premier League team, and I just haven't done it yet. A shame EA Sports stiffed us on the cover and promotional video for the new game. Dart should have been included on the cover. Yeah, but you had to get somebody from Colorado in there. Will Carter fire Bianco? I think that even though the contract is his fault, I think there would be no debate. There'd be no question. There'd be no doubt if that contract was half the price. If it wasn't, if they didn't sign a 6-year deal in 2022, if they just did a 4-year deal, I think the discussion's not even a discussion. I think it's over. I don't know this from talking to him. I think that he wants to. I think that they want to move on. I'm just not sure that they can. We'll talk about that later this week, I promise. Do you want to change to come in softball? They did make the tournament this year. I know they went 2-Q, though, in the regional and dealing with the stadium project. But if there is any dollar, this is going to sound cross, but forgive me. It's just the truth. If there's any dollar in a buyout in any sport, not named football, basketball, and baseball, football, men's basketball, and baseball, it's not worth paying right now. Considering, one, how they're spending as much as they possibly can, and two, with the settlements coming and the budget cuts that are going to have to come because of those settlements. Again, it's a college sports-wide thing. It's not an Ole Miss thing. Any dime spent to fire a coach and not one of those three sports is just setting money on fire. Still lukewarm on the college football game. Madden is so terrible, but you want this to be a good game so bad. I'm afraid the ultimate team aspect is going to dominate the game with its microtransaction gambling. Yeah, I need to get a new Xbox before I get the game, and that is not in the budget at the moment. So, I will not be buying it on release day. I may never. Do I think Barron got any money up front from the Grove Collective? I sure hope not. Maybe it's possible the payment started because he did enroll in school and, you know, was there for a period of time. But outside of that, if they gave him like a large sum up front, it's just a mistake. Just a big old mistake. I don't think that's how they operate, but long story short, I don't know. That's where these video games make their money, on the player packs and in-game slot machines, 100%. I mean, that's how Fortnite is worth billions of dollars. They microtransaction little Timmy to death. So, Do I really think moving on in baseball is necessary? What's the alternative? Is it to continue being what they've been for the last 2 years? That they've been an embarrassing product for 2 years. Not even mediocre, but embarrassing. They've won 17 conference games in the last 2 years. Combined, 17 conference games in 2 years. They've been at the bottom of the SEC. They, this season, were the worst fielding team, had the most errors, one of the worst pitching teams, one of the worst hitting teams. They were at or near the bottom in every meaningful statistical category this year. And when you have a coach making the second or third highest salary in all of America, when you've got a fan base buy-in the way that that fan base buys in, when you've got financial support the way that program has, what they have been is an embarrassment. And what I think is really sad is the people that are excuse-making. Well, there's not enough NIL. Spare me. I mean, that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Could they have more? Sure. Well, frankly, there are some internal strategies that make no sense. That they could go out and raise more money. And I'm not talking about Walker Jones, by the way. Maybe they would have more if they were more open and forward about it in baseball. Take a couple pages out of the Chris Beard playbook to raise your own money. That would help. That's how basketball has been able to retool the roster the way they have, is because Chris Beard's taken it upon himself to raise money himself. Football takes care of itself. Lane Kiffin doesn't have to do that, but that needs to happen too. But the resources, the investment, the fan capital, it's much larger than the return on that investment. They're not getting anywhere close to return on the investment. And splitting hairs about whether or not Mississippi State's a better job than Ole Miss is ridiculous. The excuse making for this program, I think it's just that. It's silly. I mean, well, it could get worse. Could it? Could it really? Well, you know, if you move on for Mike, you could hire somebody that might not be good. Well, okay, what? It might not be good. Is it any good at the moment? Fear of being worse than one of the worst teams in the league is something that's stopping you from considering moving on? It makes no sense to me at all. The excuse making. I mean, yes, there are programs in the SEC that have more in NIL for baseball than Ole Miss does. One, again, that could be fixed internally. And two, look around college baseball. Look at who's going to be hosting regionals. And I know they all don't play in the SEC. But look at who's going to be hosting regionals. Look at who won the SEC this year. Look at Kentucky, for example. Is Alabama, for example, wildly spending more than you? No, but they embarrassed you in your own place. I mean, they're the what was being asked of this team was to win 13 conference games. They play 30. Win 13 of 30 conference games, and you make the postseason, and they fell short of that, rather significantly short of that. That's what you're asking. Nobody is saying that they need to be a national seed every year, but you're talking, people are making excuses for missing the tournament in consecutive years. It makes me wonder a lot of things. And again, we'll dive into this later. Anyway. Lamone has turned it around. Why couldn't Bianco? That's a good point. There were some warts, I think, showing themselves before the national championship that need to be taken into account. The portal hasn't worked out for Bianco. You have a much larger sample size. It's fair to ask that question, certainly. That's something that Ole Miss will have to think about, too. What SEC teams do I think could beat Ole Miss for the lead in rushing this year? Alabama could, I suppose. Especially with a running quarterback that's not particularly great at throwing the ball. So they'll have to do some of that. Georgia, Alabama, probably. Texas, maybe. With the headsets and the quarterback helmet starting the season, the need for Dart to RPO drops significantly. We move fast enough for him to be told a call almost at the snap. True. You want me to be a Chelsea fan? No, hey, that's a Chelsea fan. I'm not adopting Chelsea. Just out of principle. You're going to save your opinions on what you think they should do and what they will do with Bianco for when we have a stream about it. Yeah, that'll dominate the conversation later this week, I promise. Need Carter to make a splash higher in baseball, just what he's done with football and basketball. And the thing is, people are like, somebody said this to me earlier today. Well, if Vanderbilt comes open, then Bakich is going to go to Vanderbilt, and therefore we shouldn't make a change. And it's like, look, with all due respect, he's good. Like Clemson's really good. He's good. Is there really only one coach out there that can come to Ole Miss and win? Is that what you're trying to tell me? That if you can't get one coach, then you shouldn't? That there's only one person out there that can come to Ole Miss and win games? You look around at some of these programs around the country that are winning baseball at a high level that have no resources, no money, no fan support, nothing. That person couldn't come to Ole Miss and win? If you swing and miss on the Clemson coach, then forget it. Don't make a change. What that is so illogical. You'll end up over $9 million by the time you fire him and hire a good replacement. In any NIL, you have to commit $9 million for baseball. Yeah, hard pass. Look, that's a factor here. That's part of it for sure. But baseball is, even though it barely makes money, it's extremely important at Ole Miss to the point where I don't think punting it is a great idea. You haven't had those full crowds. And in the town, the school depends on baseball for how they conduct their business. It's not just a bottom line decision. There's an emotional – and I don't – that's not a – you shouldn't run your athletic department on emotions, but I mean, like, for the health of your university in some ways, your town, baseball needs to be successful if it wants to maintain. I don't think just letting baseball continue to suck is a good financial strategy either. It's a tough decision. It's risky to make a change because of how expensive it'll be, for sure, and what's coming down the pipe with these lawsuits. But it's risky not to, because if you continue to suck like they've sucked for 2 years, you could lose people and lose money and lose that magic that spring in Oxford with baseball provides. Yeah, the cost of this game is kind of nuts, right? So $70 to $150 with microtransactions. That's insane. Do I think State still has a chance at hosting? I do. Losing on Tuesday night, I think, would end that, though. They're right on the edge, and you know how the committee can get sometimes. If they have that much money to put into baseball, they can put a better product on the field than they have. Bianco can't get good pitching. It's one of those things that will be fixed soon enough, though. The EU keeps banning that kind of stuff, so soon enough, the games won't have any of the slot machine type stuff. If you wanted to play College Football 25 online on a PlayStation 5, it would cost you about $700 to get everything for it, taxes included. Damn. If you have 9 million laying around, give it to Lane or Beard. Baseball doesn't make money like the others do. They don't have 9 million laying around. They don't. How much NIL is going to baseball versus football percentage-wise? Oh, gosh, baseball's getting, I mean, less than 10% of football. I mean, 1.5 million is roughly what this roster, the baseball roster, costs this year. Football's more, I would venture to guess, more than 10 million. I mean, the starting defensive line on its own is 2.5, I think. Roughly, again, in talking about how much players are getting or how much schools have in NIL, it's kind of goofy because nobody really knows for sure. I mean, people just, you know, people talk, and that's all that I can really go by. So I have no idea if what I just said is accurate. I'm pretty comfortable with that defensive line amount, though. I think it's around $2 million. 2.5, probably. Just the four starters. Dart lives in the same neighborhood as Kiffin. Shows how much more football gets, but it's definitely more deserved. I did not know that. That is interesting. You don't see much difference in the Ole Miss or state baseball jobs, except for what NIL would be. Arkansas, too. Yeah, and that's the thing. People get, well, where does the Ole Miss job rank? Well, it ranks 9 behind Arkansas. But how much better is the Arkansas job than Ole Miss? How much better is it? Maybe marginally, but what are those margins? And why are you splitting hairs to make excuses like that? Anyway. Any thoughts on what has happened the past 2 years? 22 had a bad month, but that was a great team. It's all encompassing. It's bad evaluations in the portal. It's bad development on the in-house guys. I think that culture got lost. And you know, I got made fun of early in the season when I said this. I got made fun of, but man, because I kind of pulled a Cowherd on this, but when the shortstop at Ole Miss did not dye his hair, did not bleach his hair, I got made fun of when I said, that tells me something. I said it on the radio show, and people were like, "Duh, what a dumb thing to care about." But that is what that's been Ole Miss baseball. The tradition, as goofy as it is, shortstop bleaches his hair. That's what shortstop does at Ole Miss. Why? Because that's what we do here. You know, that's the thing. I'm obviously saying that from their perspective. You do that because that's what we do here. And as a senior on this team, if you're going to play shortstop on this team, that's what you do because that's what happens at Ole Miss baseball. And that didn't happen. They didn't care about stuff like that. When you don't have the culture setter within the locker room to maintain a standard like that, as goofy as that little thing is, we talked about it on here, I think, after the Hawaii series. Why does shortstop not have his hair bleached? It's what they're supposed to do. Why not? It speaks to buy-in. That's a Cowherd thing, I know, but it speaks to buy-in. It speaks to culture. They didn't have that. That 22 team had that. Last 2 years, they haven't had that. So bad development, bad evaluations in the portal, clearly not having that dog in them, as the kids say. Very fragile mentally. Injuries have also played a factor as well. The league is getting better. All those things. In hindsight, it wasn't a great move to give Bianco the contract after the championship, but I'm not going to hold that over Keith Carter's head as a Jimbo-type contract. In hindsight, it was pretty stupid. But they did win a national championship. I mean, that makes it It's easy to criticize in hindsight. I think it's fair to criticize it, honestly, because as an athletic director, you're not supposed to make emotional decisions. And that kind of feels like it was one. But, I mean, who could have seen that coming, right? I didn't think that they were going to be this bad in the 2 years following. And there's no way you could have thought that they were going to be this bad. But they are. So, hindsight, bad contract, really bad contract. That's Keith Carter's biggest mistake as AD so far. Pretty sure they could go get Dallas Baptist coach and make that work out pretty well. Lots of great coaches out there, no doubt. Lots of them. Ole Miss is money motivated in baseball. They can find a valid replacement. The NIL era is here. Ole Miss fans need to learn to expect better. I agree. Do I think Beard is going to have trouble evaluating players like Bianco and staff do in the NIL coaching world? I don't think so, but that's purely just a I don't think so. This is going to be an interesting year for him because last year they had to just kind of piecemeal a roster together and just kind of figure it out. Didn't have much time. There was a lot of tampering going on. Frankly, there was, I assume that he had to deal with the circumstances around why he got the Ole Miss job. That had to have been a factor in one way or another. What I'm saying is this year should be more scrutinized than last year when it comes to roster evaluation, things like that. They kind of had to rush together to build that roster, and they had a lot more money now for this one as well. Football winning 10-plus games a year will help the university the most by far. Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. Less than 100 days until week zero. We will start our 100 teams in 100 days countdown on tomorrow's show. Looking forward to that. Nothing can impede on football success. 100, I'm with you. If we'll talk about this later, I promise. Culture matters, goofy or not. Right fielder throwing the warm-up ball into the crowd. Bleached hair in the middle infield. Exactly. Wait, so they don't student section the ball anymore either? I haven't noticed that. Is that true? But that's another thing. Why don't you do that anymore? That's what you do. That's part of it. Bleaching your hair is part of it. Culture starts with the coach. It does. It does. Banco's also never bottomed out until last year, never had a losing season until 2023. Even his math teams in the past had big years the next season for sure. Dominique Thomas is a monster, you say. He played, that's the Clemson transfer, for those of you that are confused at the name or don't recognize the name. He played behind Will Shipley last year, and Shipley's in the NFL now, and Phil Maffa. I mean, the carries that he got looked good. They looked good. Like if he has to, quote unquote, has to play, there's worse guys to have on your roster than him, no doubt. The SEC sending Texas here for basketball next season was doing Beard and Ole Miss a solid favor. Yeah. They still throw the ball. Sometimes student crowds have decreased and that goes away. Do you know how hard it is to lose the student section in baseball? You know how hard that is? You sit outside and drink beer. How mad are state fans about Amos? What did Haydad say? I haven't talked to him since it happened. Pavilion should be rocking next season. It will be rocking next season. Get you a Bentley and don't worry about the running back room. He's just got to stay healthy. A lot of people are forgetting about him, though. And I get it. The portal guys are exciting and new, but if he stays healthy, man, he's really good. He's really good. So thank you, Anthony. Glad you're here. I am going to hang it up, though. It is getting late. I appreciate all of you very, very much, as always. Please like the video. Again, we're not going to be live on Tuesday night. I will make it up to you one way or another. We will have the baseball conversation more in depth when the season ends, although we did kind of do it some tonight. But we'll talk about it more at length. And, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that this week. So see you guys. If you're going to Hoover, be safe, enjoy yourself, and we will talk about whatever happens this week. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Mid-Delta Auction Company is holding a spring equipment auction Thursday, March the 20th from their location across from Cannon Motors in Greenwood. Visit mdauction.com for more information. That's mdauction.com. We'll see you there.